We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. We'll also be in Philippians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5. If you want to mark your Bibles, you can. You want to write that down. Matthew chapter 5 is our first text. We have been working through a series I have titled The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. And you know, that's not my sermons. You know, like, we know, Pastor, we know. No, it's not mine. It is the Sermon on the Mount. It is Jesus' greatest sermon. It is this sermon that really explores the kingdom of God and reveals to us what it looks like to live in his kingdom. It reveals to us what Jesus came to the earth to show us and to teach us, that is, how to live in the kingdom. And he explores this. This text that we have been looking at, the Beatitudes, are not attitudes that we can just simply develop and start living out. We're like, yeah, that's a good principle. I think I'll apply it to my life. No, that's not how it works. These are principles, these are attributes, these are characteristics that the Christian automatically begins to live out because God has placed in that person his Holy Spirit. Not only that, but a new heart and a new mind to think and live a different way. And so we cannot simply strive to start living these things out. We actually have to have a completely changed and revived heart and mind to even begin to do so. And so as we look and reflect on these truths, if God has transformed us, we will be convicted and have desires to live these things out. The greatest sermon ever preached, this series, the title of my message, May the Peace of God Rule Your Heart. Say that again, may the peace of God rule your heart. I heard a story of this boy named Sammy. It was coming up to Christmas, and he asked his mom if he could have a new bike for Christmas. So she told him that the best idea would be to write Santa Claus a letter. But Sammy, having just played a vital role in the school nativity play, he preferred he would write to Jesus instead. So his mom told him, that's fine, write a letter to Jesus. And so Sammy went into his room and he writes, Dear Jesus, I've been a very good boy and I would like a bike for Christmas. But he wasn't very happy after he read it over. He says, that's not accurate. So he decided to try it again. And this time he wrote, Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and would like a bike for Christmas. He read it back and he wasn't happy with that one either. And so he tried a third version. He says, Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried hard, especially if I had a good brand new bike. He read that one too, but it still, he wasn't satisfied. So he thought it through long and hard, and he ran into his father's study and saw a little nativity scene there, and he took the Virgin Mary there, and he wrapped it up in a blanket, and he stuffed it under his bed. Then he ran back to write the letter, and he writes this, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you better send me a new bike. Oh, yes. May the peace of God rule our hearts. Peace. When I say the word peace, what do you think of? Maybe you think of peace that you desire in your own heart and life. Maybe you think of world peace, wishing that there would be more peace on earth as it is in heaven. I looked up internationalrelations.com. I looked up the active wars in our society today. Isn't it amazing how hard we work to try to find peace in our own lives, but not only in our own lives, but we work in the world, and we have these clever sayings and things we like to pursue for world peace, right? We're all fired up about peace in the Middle East, right? I mean, that's what we want. We want the world to have peace. Sad thing is, why doesn't it happen? Again, I looked this up, and the active wars, there are over 10 active wars going on right now in the world, which over 1,000 people die every single year. And this was recorded July 31st, 2015. In Syria, this is the greatest war happening right now. Been going on for 3 years. There's been over 250,000 deaths. A quarter of a million people dead from wars. Just in this one war. But we have 10 of them active that are over 1,000 people dying per year. That's not all the other wars. There's something like 30-something wars going on. People die under 1,000 a year, under 100 a year, but these wars are taking place in communities all over the world. There is war. Elis10.com, I searched the world's top 10 biggest wars in history. Why hasn't our society been able to escape war? Why hasn't civilization been able to get away from it and pursue and achieve this peace that we so long for and desire? Well, at least things are getting better, right? Oh. Top 10 biggest wars in the history of man. I'll just give you number 10, 8, 7, and then I'll give you number 3, 2, and the number 1 biggest war of all time. Number 10 is the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, 4 years. More than 800,000 people died. Almost 1 million people. Number 8 is the Vietnam War. Over 1 million civilians were killed in addition to the hundreds of thousands of participants in that war. Number 7 is the 30-Year War in 1618 to 1648. This was rivalry for the European political territory there. 5 million people died in that war. This is only number 7 on the list of 10. Number 3 is the First World War. 1914 to 1918, it involved all the great powers of the world assembled in two opposing alliances, the Allies and the Central Powers. The death toll for the World War I was estimated to be around a staggering 50 million people. World War I, that was not long ago, people. This was, World War I began 100 years ago, 1914, 2015. This is not long ago. Number 2 is the Mongol conquest. This was in the 1200s. It lasted over 100 years. They say there were over 60 million people killed in that war. 60 million. So look at this. From the 1200s, 1300s, all the way to now, we've progressed and gotten better as a society, right? Wrong. You know what the number one war in all of history just happened? World War II, 1939 to 1945, just a small 6 years, there were over 70 million people who died in that war. Peace on earth? We boast that we are moving forward in society as a civilization, as a people. We are thriving. We are further along than we've ever been in the world. Really? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our world? What's wrong with our society? Jesus said in Matthew 24:6, he said, "And you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet," he said. He said the end is not even yet, even when you see these things. Romans 14:17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." The kingdom of God is peace. And we long for that as human beings. Isn't that interesting? Every human being wants peace to a certain degree, and they're all fighting supposedly for this peace. But why can't they achieve it? Colossians 3:15, if you want to write it down. Colossians 3:15, this is where I got the title for the message. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." We are the body of Christ. We are Christians. We are children of God. Thus, we are to be ruled by the peace of God, ruled by the peace of Christ, because we have tasted of his peace. Today, we'll look at one of the most needed statements in all of the world today. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we've been reading this text every single week. Why do we stand? Because it's a cool religious thing to do? No. We stand to give reverence to God's word. We believe that this is God's word. This is the Lord actually speaking to us. This is his love letter to his people. This is his message to his creation. And that's why we stand in reverence of him who speaks to us now. We learn from this text. We study it. We know it. This is where the authority is at. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Allow me to read it. It says, seeing the crowds, he, this is Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You can be seated. We'll focus on verse 9 today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Would you say, blessed are the peacemakers with me? Blessed are the peacemakers. One more time, please. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Bible students, what does this word blessed mean? Do you remember? Happy. Happy are who? Peacemakers? Well, then I'm going to be a peacemaker. Well, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called what? Children of God. Children of God are people who have sin forgiven, thus are and have tasted of the peace of God in their lives. They are forgiven. Thus now they can be peacemakers, and these people will be happy. What is this peacemaker? This word in the Greek, are you ready? Arenapoinas. Arenapoinas, yes. This is peacemaker. It's two words brought together. This word is only used one time in the whole New Testament. It's right here, what we're looking at. But this word derives from two words. Eirene, this is peace. This is a state of national tranquility. No havoc or war, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, and then poieo, to do or make, to do or make. So watch this, let me piece this together for you. This is to produce, construct, form, fashion, to be authors of, to cause, peace doer, or to make, or one who makes peace, peacemaker, to do peace. Jesus again is speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of God. This is the context. Think it through with me. One day we'll go to Israel together. One of our church members just went to Israel and got to hang out there. But we will be going to Israel together one day here in the near future. I'm hoping to plan this out maybe 2 years in advance so you can save your chips. And we'll go together, and I'll get the price nice and down and make sure we go to the right place. I got to live in Israel for a little while. 3 months, and so we got to travel the nation twice, and there's some specific things that you just got to see, and one of them is this mount that Jesus sat on right there next to the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret, they call it, and this is where he walked on the water. Capernaum is right there, and right on this side of Capernaum is a hill there, and this is where they believe Jesus sat on this hill. What did it look like? Was it like mountain range type? It looks just like a grassy, like tall, grass, dead grass field. That's exactly what it looks like, just rolling hills, just kind of like the atmosphere around us here. He sat there, and the context is that he is speaking to whom? His disciples, who are what? Jews. He's speaking to a Jewish people, a Jewish population, who have an understanding of who? Messiah, the Christ. They have a clear understanding of Messiah, but what is their understanding of Messiah? Who do they see him to be? They looked to him to be a man who would come in as a conquering king and wipe out the establishment and lift up the Jewish people, and they would be ruling under their king. They look at him as a political figure, someone who will save them from the oppression of the Roman Empire and all the other nations around who constantly persecute the Jews. That is what they're looking for. Now watch this. Jesus looks at this Jewish population, these people looking to him. This is the Messiah. This is the king. This is the one. And he says this, not blessed are those who make war and crush the enemies. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're like, what? Peacemakers? We're not coming here to make peace. You have come to conquer. You have come to make things right for us. This was a radical statement to his listeners. And isn't this what we want in our nation too? Yeah, we need a good president who's going to stand up and just conquer with an iron fist. Really? Is that what we want? What are we doing as a world? There is a balance here that we need to find, and it is in Jesus. The most shocking thing, I think, was his disciples heard this, but then they saw their king crucified. The disciples scattered, and they're so upset and they're so bummed out, they ran and they hid, because the one who was supposed to rule, their mighty king, was being crucified like a criminal. And like, what's going on here? Did not Jesus explain to them what was going to happen? Guys, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise from the dead 3 days later. And when it happened, they're all bummed out. They're like, what's going on here? This was words they did not want to hear. They want a conquering king. But blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. The peacemaker is blessed because they are children of God. I said this to you earlier. Let's talk about this. Think about it. Only children of God can and will be peacemakers. Now, is the whole earth children of God? No. No. Don't, Pastor, come on. Now, be nice. You know, like, the whole world is not God's children. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but those that have received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Those who believe in his name. So children of God are those who believe and follow Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not my words, that's Jesus' words. It is impossible to have peace in your veins and peace in your heart, peace in your mind, unless you are a child of God. You can't be a peacemaker. The world says, not so. We can be peacemakers. We can bring peace amongst ourselves. No, you can't. Humans have been trying this for thousands of years, and as we saw, it's not working. Why? Why can't we make peace? You know why? There's one root issue. There's one problem. Sin. Sin is the issue. The root issue in every human heart that must be dealt with is sin. And as long as we have sin in the world, we will not have peace in the world. I'm not saying we shouldn't work towards peace with nations and work towards peace with all people, but we must understand that because there is sin, it is going to be there. For each person individually, the only way to become a peacemaker is to become a child of God. You need God's peace in your heart. You need sin to be dealt with and forgiven. You need the Holy Spirit to come and live inside you and lead you to be a peacemaker. There is no other way. So if you want peace to start to exude from your life, you first must taste of the peace of God. You understand? And if we want peace in our city, if we want peace in our families, if we want peace in our marriages, if we want peace in our friendships, we must first have Christ. It's amazing how hard we work at peace, but we can't figure it out. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Peace I leave with you. Jesus said this to his people. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is why the gospel is so important. right now in this day and age. The answer to all the wars, the answer to the lack of peace in our lives and in the earth is the fact that we lack the gospel. It's the only thing that will change people. It's the only thing that will enable another person to start being nice. Like, can't you guys just start playing in the sandbox nice? Why gotta be so mean to each other? Why can't you be peacemakers? Because they have sin in their hearts. The sin must be dealt with. It must be forgiven. They must be made right with God. And only then can they start to move forward. When you see people not act peaceful towards one another, what do you expect? What do you expect from your family members? What do you expect from friends who are non-believers? What do you expect from coworkers? What do you expect from the world? You would expect war. We're going to look at deeper reasons why. Jesus says in Matthew 15, 18, you want to hear what the heart's about? Matthew 15, 18, the words you speak come from the heart. Listen, that's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Church, listen. Do you know that the seed to every sin dwells in your heart? I could never do that one. I could never do that over there. Hold on, be careful. The seeds to every type of sin dwells in the heart of man, and we are capable of some crazy stuff. Just look at people maybe you know, and maybe you just watch the progression of their lives and they become an angry person and more continually pursuing that thing. Or maybe sexual things started off with something small and all of a sudden they're doing crazy things. Like, how in the world did that? Or stealing small, you know, starts small, and before you know it, this is all in our hearts. We are capable of doing some pretty crazy stuff. And all you got to do is say a couple times, I would never do that. And before you know it, guess what? You're knocking on that door. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, Jesus tells us. John 16:33, I love this statement. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. If Jesus has not overcome the world, we have no hope. We have no direction. We have no way for peace to come. All this tragedy just starts to really freak you out, huh? When you start thinking about all these attacks on these different cities and what's going to happen. And man, we need to start doing, you know, there's so much chaos that wants to break out in our minds and hearts because we want to do something about it. And that's a good desire to want to help and do something about it. But man, when you reflect on it all, it's bigger than us, isn't it? You're like, oh, we need one man to rise up and bring peace to the world. Uh-huh. His name's Jesus. And he's already done it. Through the gospel, peace has been brought to man. That's what we're celebrating this season. If the whole world was converted today, we would have true peace. Did you know that? That's heaven. That won't happen until heaven. But that doesn't mean we don't strive to try to make the atmosphere and make this place a better place. Why? Why do we display peace? Why are we peacemakers? We're doing that so that more people can be brought into the kingdom and taste of Jesus, have sin forgiven, go to heaven when they die. That's the whole point. We are called to make disciples of the nations before Jesus returns. Do you believe Jesus is going to return? Do you know that he will return? Well, there's debate over when he will return. You know, I know. A lot of debate. But do you know that there's no debate among scholars that he will return? He will return. He may return today. He may return this week. He may return this year. When he returns, everything will be set right. But until then, we plow these fields, bringing in the harvest. We work hard to bring peace to the earth so people would see that peace that only God gives. And they would say, man, there's something about that my even my mind and my heart, my body strives for that. You know why people love that peace? Because they were created to know that God who portrays that peace. They're attracted to it. So when they taste of it, when they see it, it grabs them and it pulls them in and it can actually change and transform them. That's why we are to live this out. We are called to shine in this dark world the peace of God. When people come in contact with a child of God, they should see and taste the peace of God. Not war, not conflict, peace. Last night, we were over here at the Marina Del Rey boat extravaganza thing. Anybody there last night? No one. Okay, we were. Well. Because it's not that big of a deal. We were over there hanging out. It was fun. There's a mall right there nearby, and we were getting some food afterwards. And there's this homeless guy coming by, and Ricky, one of the brothers here at Legacy, he was standing there. He noticed the guy was grabbing for some food, trying to grab like this salad that was sitting on the table. And the guy kind of like threw it away, and then he just kept on his way. And then Ricky said he had some leftover pizza. He's like, "Hey, are you hungry?" And he's like, "Yeah, you have no idea." He's like, "Well, I got some pizza, you know, if you want this." And so he gives the guy the pizza and then says this phrase. He says, "The Lord provides." And the man looks at him and he says, basically, BS, yells it. Like, the Lord does not provide. It's like, you know what it's like to dig out of a trash can? And then Ricky looked at him and said, "The Lord just provided. The Lord just provided." And he could not see it. But what struck me was that how hostile this man was towards the Lord. "The Lord provides." He's like, "No, he doesn't." He was angry. He was ready to build conflict, but that's not what happened. It was diffused in a moment because he said, "The Lord just provided." And then he went on to say this, "I didn't give this to you out of the kindness of my heart. I gave this to you because God has been gracious to me. And that's the only reason I did it. I'm not kind enough. I could be very selfish and wicked and basically keep this to myself. But out of the grace of God, I chose to do this for you." And the man walked away. I was reflecting on that. Because this is exactly what happens in our world. People are uptight and ready to go to war over all kinds of things. And we are to constantly reinforce being a peacemaker to the very end. It should pour from us. Galatians 5:22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy," what? "Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." If the Spirit of God lives in us, we are going to be drawn to do things that even that old man doesn't want to do. The old man will want to get in that guy's face and say, "What? Dude, I was just trying to bless you right now, and you're going to do that? Give me that. The Lord hath not provided." Right? And let's bring some heavy punishment in place now. But instead, to continue to be gracious and bring peace, even when someone confronts you, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let's look closer at the peacemaker. Let's look at what a peacemaker is not to be confused with. A peacemaker is not someone who keeps the peace at any cost. Oh no. If I see a child being beat up in front of me, I will not keep the peace. Okay? I'm not going to allow injustice. I'm going to step in. Not to keep the peace at any cost. If I see a person being mistreated, I will not keep the peace. A peacemaker does not mean an easygoing, laid-back, passive person. A person who is like this lacks a sense of justice and righteousness, which is important to the Lord. We are to stand against injustice and at the same time be peacemakers. That's not a quick little easy rule that we can handbook of rules like, in this situation do that, in this situation do that. How do you find the balance between being a peacemaker at all times and not citing or being passive towards injustice, things that are not right, clearly not right. You want to keep the peace. You don't want to rock the boat, but you know that something's wrong over here. We are to stand firm in our convictions, and we are to help bring peace. We are to maintain this peace. We are not to be passive. For a person to simply avoid war, avoid confrontation, does not make them a peacemaker. Do you see that? Avoiding issues does not bring forth peace or a solution. It must be dealt with and settled. That is infusing peace into a situation. If you have two countries that maybe they're passive about the war and fighting each other, is that peace if there's still bitterness and animosity towards one another? That's not peace. It's not settled. So let's just be passive about it until the thing completely erupts and explodes, right? We do this in relationships with people as well. We don't want to settle our issues with that person. Instead, we'll sweep it under the rug. We don't want to be a peacemaker and actually go and settle the issue. We'd rather just act like it's not there. That's not helpful. That's not peace. That is not true peace. So we don't want to confuse it with that. Second, what is a peacemaker? Here it is. Clearly defined, this is not only someone who doesn't make trouble, but someone who goes out of their way to make peace. This is someone who actually desires peace in their hearts. They do not desire to make problems all the time, but instead has a burden to bring peace as God has brought peace to them. This is also a person who desires to see peace between other people. You see a conflict and you don't go and throw gasoline on it. Oh, you know, they said this and they said that. You go and like fuel the thing. That's not good. That's not helpful. You go and make peace. Hey, hold on. This is what they mean. Hey, calm down. It's not necessary. You make peace. Bringing peace between groups. Bringing peace between nations. And the biggest peace that the peacemaker, I don't know what I was going to say there. The biggest peace that the peacemaker wants to see is peace between God and people. Right? A true peacemaker walks around the city and says, I just want these people to be at peace with God. I want them to be at rest in their souls. I want them to go to heaven when they die. I want them to taste of the joy and peace and life that I have experienced. That's a true peacemaker. There are some issues that stop the human from being peaceful. It is thinking about self too much. Our own sinful desires get in the way of allowing and bringing peace into a situation. 2 Timothy 2:4, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. That's the characteristic of a child of God, of a true Christian. We're not a quarrelsome people, okay? Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way. Listen to what he said. Awesome quote. He says, to be a peacemaker, you must be, as it were, absolutely neutral so that you can bring the two sides together. You must not be sensitive. You must not be touchy. You must not be on the defensive. If you are, you will not be a very good peacemaker. There's going to be war all the time. A lot of what stops us from being a peacemaker in situations is ourselves. Let's identify these issues closely. I want to break it down into these two ideas. This is someone who doesn't make trouble. Number one, if you're taking notes, someone who doesn't make trouble, the peacemaker. And number two, someone who goes out of their way to bring peace. You see that? It's two categories. Doesn't make trouble and one who goes out of their way to make peace. So first, this is someone who doesn't make trouble. What is the best picture? What is our motivation? Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. We look to Jesus. He is our motivation. This is the other text. I have two other texts I wanted to look at. You can turn there if you want to. If not, I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Listen, look at Christ. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Look to Jesus, the ultimate peacemaker, humbled himself, exalted people above himself. The peacemaker does not look at everything in life through the lens of how it affects themselves. They have a bigger view of things. Thinking about others above themselves. Because watch this, church. As soon as you start to think through a situation and how it affects you, you become defensive and argumentative and a war begins. It happens one-on-one. It happens in groups. It happens with nations. Everyone is thinking about who? Me. Me. I'm what matters. I am the focus. Love yourself. Love me. Think about me. Put me as number one. That is the most dangerous thing to do. If you want to get depressed and you want to have a lot of issues in life, do that. That's what the world tells us to do. Everyone thinking about me. This is selfishness. If we don't get our way and what we like, watch this, individual, group, nation, if we don't get our way, if we don't get what we like, we go to war for it. A peacemaker doesn't start trouble because they didn't get their way. This is what children do, right? Child doesn't get what they want, they go to war. I often wonder if a two-year-old had the strength of, like, you know, some 6'5", 250-pound man, what they would do to you to get what they want. Okay? That's what children do. Selfish. The funny thing is we've never grown out of this. Nations say, I want it this way. I want this. We want this. You will do this. And you don't like it, we'll go to war. Group against group. We want it this way. We want it that way. Me, me, me. No one looks out for the interests of the other. One-on-one. We constantly thinking about self, focused on what I need and what I want and the ways that I have to have it. And before you know it, you start go to war to defend what you desire. I must have it my way. We are all guilty of this, from small things like standing in line at a store and not getting our way. Black Friday. To wrong orders through the drive-thru. I didn't get it my way, McDonald's. I'm going to war. Right? To people doing things you don't do or you don't like to do and you don't like, you don't prefer. Gets on your nerves. Ticks you off. Gets you a little irritated. We call ourselves a tolerant people in this society. If you just look at the details, we are the most intolerant people. You don't tolerate anything. You want everything your way. And if you don't get it your way, you are going to protest. You are going to go after people. You are going to go to war until it is your way. And you will snuff out anyone who gets in your way. That is not tolerance. It's amazing. Just look at the attitude of people. We have to look beyond ourselves to the other person and see how his or her attitude is affected. Words or actions can hurt the other person. Instead of overreacting, the peacemaker chooses not to quarrel, not to cause problems, not to cause trouble. This isn't an injustice. It's okay. It's an injustice against me. I didn't get enough milk in my coffee. Right? That's me. That's my illustration. That's me. Romans 12:18, if possible, Paul says, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone. What do you think that word means? Everyone. Strive at peace. For holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, church. So the first half is, this is someone who doesn't make trouble. Not highly offended. They don't make trouble. They make peace. Second, this is someone who goes out of their way to make peace. Goes out of their way, inserts themselves to make peace. Guess who is our example again? Jesus, the King, who went out of his way to make peace for us, Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down is his flesh in the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Let me read another passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. This is, when I read this again, I've read it so many times, and it just absolutely blows my mind every time I get to soak this one in. Just listen, please, don't miss this one. Romans 5, 1, then I'm going to skip down to verse 6. Listen. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word peace is used in a war term. We were at war with God, and we have been brought close to him. Peace has been made for us. Watch this. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one will dare to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Listen, church. You were an enemy of God. You were at war with him, a sinner in full rebellion. Me too. We were running from the Lord. We were living against the Lord. We were in rebellion against him, his enemies. And what should he have done? Wiped us out. You think an A-bomb, you think a nuke is effective. Watch what God can do. Oh, my enemies, you are crushed. Instead, he was not passive. He did not sit back and say, man, I'm just going to let this one go. He intervened and he brought peace. He did not have to do that. He made peace between us and God. We were at war with our Lord, and Jesus came down to bring peace for us through the cross. That's what the cross is all about. I'll never forget this one. I was over at one of the pastor's house over from Harvest. We were hanging out. We'd just gone surfing. And we were racking the boards, and I was inside. I don't know if we were making coffee or something, just hanging out. And he was in the back room doing something, and I'm sitting there at the front table, and I could look out onto the street. And all of a sudden, I look outside, and I see these two guys. Like, one guy is, like, staring down at these gangsters across the street, and he's walking down the street, you know. And all of a sudden, like, before you know it, these two dudes are, like, in each other's faces right there in the middle of the street in front of the house. And I'm like, are you serious right now? One guy was just walking down the street, you know, he's staring the other guy down. This guy's kind of, you know, this whole thing, you know, it's, guys do this, you know. And, you know, they find themselves, they're getting each other's face. They start yelling at each other. And I'm like, Mike, they're about to throw down, like, right now. There's some guys out here, they're going to fight right here in the middle of the street. And I thought he wanted to just come and watch with me, you know. He's like, oh, no, they're not. He busts the door open and goes storming out and gets in their face and says, this is not happening on this street. Keep walking. He's in both their faces. This isn't happening right here. Keep walking, both of you. You go that way, you go that way. And Mike's just dead serious. He's like, get walking. This isn't worth it. You're not going to do it. Get walking. Guess what happens? The dude turns around, he picks up his briefcase and just starts walking. And I'm like, nice. He was not passive in the situation. He intervened and he brought peace in that moment. And again, I mean, there's not going to be blood on his street. That's what he was saying. Like, I'm not going to allow this to take place and go down. Now, I wouldn't encourage everyone to do that. pastor is, you know, 6'3", 6'4", or whatever, and, you know, just walked up and just said, get to stepping, you know, and it worked. But he brought peace. And I want to tell you today that, again, you were not at peace with God, at war with him, and Jesus was the one who came down and stepped in, intervened, and says, guess what? You deserve to be crushed, but I will die for your sins so that you can have peace with my Father. And you will now be called a child of God. And I will put my peace in you, and you will be able to live it out in the world and bless people with that peace. That is the message of the gospel. Romans 14:19 in closing. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Church, if you know Christ, if you have tasted of his peace, you are a peacemaker. It is in you to be a peacemaker. It beats in your heart. These thoughts and ideas come to your mind. I now ask you and exhort you to live these things out. Is there animosity between you and a friend or you and someone that you know about? Go make peace. Make peace. A family member? In a marriage? In this city? Church, we're either going to see real life change with people and in our own lives, or we're just going to listen to these sermons and walk away and act like we heard nothing. We want change. Do we really want change? This change starts in our own hearts and minds, and we get the opportunity to go and live this out. I get it. Some people just don't want peace with you. You need to do all that you can to bring that peace, and your hands are clean from the situation. That's all that you can do. But we need to work hard to be peacemakers. Quit causing problems and making trouble. Learn from the humility of Christ. And second, insert yourself into situations and be a peacemaker as Jesus has done for us between us and his Father. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of God. I'll close in this, Colossians 3:15. Scripture I read at the beginning, I'll read it at the end. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called.